good. He is good. I want to tell you this morning about, we're going to be starting a new series on praise, and this is going to go on for maybe 5 weeks or so. And I want to tell you a story about Aunt Betty. Okay, Aunt Betty. Now, this was a few years ago, but Aunt Betty went to kind of a traditional church, a church that many of us kind of grew up in. And so
Aunt Betty was, she was a bad lady. She didn't have a whole lot, but she had a heart for people. So as the service was going on, the preacher began to speak, and he would say something that really touched Aunt Betty's heart. She would just shout out, "Praise the Lord!" And then you know Aunt Betty. She'd shout out, "Praise the Lord," and that preacher would keep on preaching, and he'd say something else, and she'd shout out, "Praise the Lord," and got to whatever it was that specifically really ministered to her. And the problem with it was this, was that the minister, really, he got distracted by it. And so when she would say, "Praise the Lord," it somehow derailed him off of what he was thinking, and he was kind of uncomfortable with it, and so he was kind of struggling with it. And now Aunt Betty didn't have a whole lot. And the pastor and minister knew that. And so one day he said, "You know what, I'd like to give Aunt Betty some blankets." So that Sunday he gave her some blankets. And as they were exchanging blankets, he sort of gently said to them, "But Aunt Betty, do you want to just try and take place for more than a longer service?" So she said, "Well, Pastor, thank you for the blankets, and I'll do my best." So the weeks that followed after that, she did her best to not say praise the Lord. She became quiet, which is unusual for Aunt Betty. Everybody began to sort of notice what was going on. And so the pastor would be speaking, she just wanted to hold it in. She wanted to shout. She wanted to say praise the Lord, but if she wanted to honor the pastor, the pastor asked her to kind of hold back on it. And so one day, a visiting minister had come in, and so this visiting minister began to talk about forgiveness of sin, and he began to talk about all the benefits that come as a result of that benefits of sin, and no longer, Aunt Betty couldn't take it anymore. She erupted. She said, "Blankets or no blankets? Praise the Lord!" Isn't that great? Blankets or no blankets? Praise the Lord. "I'm willing to give up my comfort to say praise the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? That's what our heart ought to be. I'm going to have you turn with me. We're going to be in Isaiah 61 for part of the morning this morning, but it's certainly the substance, the basis of where I'm going to be ministering from. And the title of my message this morning is "Put on the Garments of Praise." Put on the Garments of Praise. So Isaiah 61 is, of course, the scripture where Jesus, when he stood up in the temple to deliver his first teaching, this is the text, this is the scripture that he drew from, and also in the text of Isaiah 58. But this is where he went, Isaiah 61, and he began to read this to the people. Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to mine some things out of here, and the things that we're going to mine are sort of 12 things that I think are really blessings that come out of the first three verses, first three verses of Isaiah 61. And as I was preparing that and kind of extracting those out of there, it sort of reminded me of Christmas. You know, you hear the 12 days of Christmas, and so you hear that song, Pastor Austin and I a while ago, we kind of did a comical little routine about it. And in it, you know, every year we find out, you know, what is the index, the Christmas index, how much is it going up? Inside of the song, it talks about all these different gifts. It talks about rings, talks about partridges, pipers, milkmaids, all these different things, and on and on. We're told last year that it was worth about $40,000. And if you can afford all the elements of that song. With the most expensive one being surprisingly at $13,000, it would have been the Swan Cinnamon. That would be the most expensive thing. Now, inside of Isaiah 61, let's transition to that. Inside of Isaiah 61, there are a number of benefits that we get from Christ the Messiah. It is a Masonic, I'm going to say Masonic psalm, but it's not a psalm, it's a prophetic voice that they are speaking of the Messiah. And so here it is in 61, I'm going to just read the first three verses. Since the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for prisoners. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of His splendor. Do you say amen? Now that's a great passage for us to be able just to get into, and even in your quiet time, as you're praying, and you're just kind of meditating on the Lord, just to work your way through that and see all the benefits. Now there's no maize to milk it, and pipers type it, and there's no partridge in a pear tree. None of those things that are in here, there are things that are far more valuable that are contained in here because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Are you with me this morning? Is Aunt Betty out there? Praise the Lord, yes. Amen. Amen. Let's kind of work our way through it. In the first verse, 51, verse 1, it talks about the fact that there is good news. Okay, that there is good news. He has anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to the gospel to the poor. In today's society, we're filled with news over and over again. In fact, we're so inundated with news, most of it being negative or ridiculous, or just completely, can I say the word asinine? It's just ridiculous stuff that's out there. Okay, we need to know good news. But this news that we're talking about here is not just who knows who or what bill passed or all these different types of things. It's good news to the poor. It's life-giving news that's available to us. Can you say amen? He continues and says that He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted or to care for the wounded. How many of you are glad that we serve a Savior that cares for the wounded? He talks about the fact that there's freedom for prisoners in this world and their own self-condemning thoughts. And He gives us freedom. He sets free the prisoners. And many times we are prisoners of our own mind, what we're thinking, of our own self-condemnation that's taking place. The devil's using that in our lives to destroy us. But He has given us freedom from that. He's given us a release from darkness. Can you say amen? How many of you are enjoying the sun yesterday? Well, maybe you saw my post just like the sunset yesterday, and I made mention to it, but it was just like, I'm just enjoying the day in the yard, working a little bit in my shop, you know, and suddenly the sun comes out, and I go, thank you, Jesus, finally! Some of you are chomping the bit, have to finish so I can get home. It's beautiful outside today. You have to let it get some peace for the But anyway, a release from darkness, a spiritual time of jubilee, if you want to get study, go into the Old Testament and find out what the year of jubilee represented. It was a time of freedom, it was a time of release from slavery, it was a time for you to go back into it, you have lost your land of heritage, it was a time to go back into that debt for free during that time. How many of you would like to have a year of jubilee in the United States? How about the execution of justice by God? Rejoicing of it is being near, just verse 2. And the day of vengeance of our God. Well, I personally am grateful that we have a just God. I'm grateful that the Hitlers, the Stalins of this world will pay a penalty for what they've done. So I'm grateful for that day of vengeance. Talk about the fact that there is the comforting, the comfort to mourners. You're in that place of mourning when you're grieving inside of your heart. There's this ability in Christ to be comforted during that time. So important. And so grateful for it. There's provision in this passage to the Grecian saints, where there's a crown of beauty that is placed on our head. There's gladness instead of the ashes of destruction. Isn't it wonderful that our attitude, our emotions, right, can be raised up, that we even can rejoice in what God has done for us, that we can have gladness instead of the ashes of destruction. A garment of praise instead of despair. A garment of praise instead of despair. We can bless in the benefit that we get from God. And then finally, a reputation as an oath of righteousness that displays God's splendor. Wouldn't it be wonderful one day to stand before the Lord, and as you come before Him, you get introduced as the Lord Jesus. Here is another oath of righteousness, displaying the splendor of His glory, the glory. What a wonderful reputation. Well, it's an amazing list of benefits as you go through that. And I kind of extracted the 12 blessings that were a part of that. But what I want to do today is I want to really zoom in, and I want to talk about one specifically, and that is this idea of a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, God has given us a garment of praise. He has given us a garment of praise. And the first point that I want to make about it is that the garment of praise is far more attractive than our rags of despair. Okay, the garment of praise is far more attractive than the garment of despair. Now, a couple weeks ago, when I had the opportunity to go out to place fellowship and sit with John Maxwell as he was teaching, one of the things that he said was, you know, if we are going to attract people to Christ, we need to be attractive. And there's not a whole lot that we can do with our physical appearance. I mean, certainly, you know, we need to be taken care of, obviously. Okay, but there's something that needs to be done in many of us in our hearts. Right, that we want to be attractive to other people. We don't want to be an Eeyore traveling around all the time, and that's our reputation. So here they come. Right, here comes Mark again. I know he's going to come. He's got some problem that he's going to lay at my feet. Anybody with me this morning? What is our reputation in the workplace? Do we come into the workplace attractive, or do we come in the rags of despair? Like, just don't talk to me. Don't talk to me till I've had my third coffee. Are you with me? We need to be attractive. I appreciated his presentation of that. You know, it was amazing to me as I listened to him, because what I began to realize is that he has a big, generous heart for people, especially the people that are unsafe. And then seeing that, understanding that, it made him more attractive to me. He's like, I want to get to know this guy a little bit more. I want to read some of the things that he has to say so that perhaps that attraction, I could begin to have that attraction. And whatever it is, wherever I go, that people will be attracted to Christ through me because I'm not repelling them. I'm not a bug repeller. Constantly walking around doing that, I want people to be drawn to Christ as a result. You know, it's interesting when you get into the Old Testament and you look at some of the Babylonian rulers. There was something about this law of attraction that was significant to them. Remember Daniel, who was getting prepared to go in, and took all the young men, all the bright young men, and then began to put them all together and get them prepared to be able to go into the king's court. As kind of wise guys, you know, and all that. So they were going to go, and they were going to be a part of that court. But what he said was, they made sure that they ate a certain diet. Now, Daniel, as we famously know, right, he abstained from it. He says, hey, I can't eat that thing. It's not kosher for me to be able to eat those things. And the guy said, okay, we'll see what happens to be a little testimony for it. But the point was, what was his countenance going to look like when he stood before the king? He even thought of that. What is my countenance when I stand before the king? What am I going to look like? It was also true when you see Esther, right? Esther's preparation to be able to go into the court, into the presence of the king, what she needed to do was prepare herself so that when she went into the king, that he received her. And then one more illustration is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And so Nehemiah was grieving because of the state of Jerusalem. And so what Nehemiah did was, because of all that was going on, he went before the king, and the king actually was kind of unique, because then the king says, why are you grieving? What is it that you're so worn about? He says, well, how can I be happy when Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, are falling? Okay, but in all three cases, what you see is there's an expectation that when you go into the presence of the king, that your countenance is attractive. What is our comment when we go before the king of kings and the Lord of lords? You ever think about it? What is it that we are carrying into the presence of the Lord? Now, this is not to say that the king doesn't, or that the Lord, the king of kings, does not accept us the way that we are. He certainly does. Okay, but we are at the receiving end of the greatest gift ever. And we are at the receiving end of the greatest gift ever. We have His presence, we have His Spirit, we have His forgiveness, we have the fruits of His Spirit, we have spiritual gifts that are given to us, we have eternity in heaven, and the list goes on and on. But many of us, instead of understanding and realizing and lifting up our countenance as we go into the presence of the King of Kings, we stay in the ranks of despair. I don't understand it. I don't understand when we have an opportunity to come into a sanctuary like this and we have the opportunity to praise and why we're not running in here and going, I want to praise the Lord too. I'm in the presence of the King. I'm not interested in anything else. I want to be in His presence. I can't imagine. I can't imagine if there was a physical God, I mean, if Jesus in a physical way was just sitting here, right, wouldn't we be in here wanting to worship Him? Yes. He's here. We want to be worshiping Him. We want to be praising Him. But instead, what we often do is we stay in the rags of despair instead of putting on the garment of praise that He has given. In Psalm 31, verse 21, it says, praise the Lord, for He has shown me the wonders of His unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. Can you say amen? Two chapters later in Psalm 33, verses 1 through 5, it says, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise Him. Praise the Lord with melody from the lyre. Make music for Him on a ten-string harp. Sing a new song of praise to Him. Play skillfully on a harp and sing with joy. For the Lord, word of the Lord holds true, and He can trust everything He does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. Isn't that wonderful? I enjoy taking my wife out on a date. A lot of the time, go someplace nice. And go to Chattanooga. No, we're going to go somewhere nice. Yeah, I figured it's Dr. Cracker Barrel. I'm eating alone. She's talking. You want to go somewhere nice, right? So she's getting all fixed up, you know, you know, with that clothes, and you know, it's beautiful anyway, you know, because you put that little extra touches on there and all that. And I go out, we get into the car, I clean the car. You know, the fence is all cleaned out, it's not dirty on the outside, it's all washed up, we're going to go out on the town. Walk up to the restaurant, my beautiful wife is with me. Walking in, they know we're on a date. I'm proud. I'm proud to have her on my arm, right? And enjoying it. So I can throw my wife off. I bet you know me, guys. Throw my wife off. We're going out to eat. She's dressed up. She's looking good. Nobody wants to take the hag and the rags and despair with them. Right? You don't want to. It's like, hey, we're going out. We're going to do something special. We're going to go enjoy this together. You don't want to do it. You're not wearing sweatpants. And your hair's sticking up and doing crazy stuff. Not in my hood. But when you go out, you want to be with that bride. You want to be someone that has been dressed up. They're wearing clothes that are nice. They put on a little bit of perfume. They're so good. So good. Right? Always, this is what we want to do. We want to be a part of it. And God has given us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, but we have to put it on. We have to put it on. And that's the next point that I want to make. Now, Bob Forgey is he's a well-known worship leader, and he's written many books on praise and worship. And I want to just kind of read a statement that he makes, because he makes it better than I do. He says this. He says, we have some dear folks in our churches who cross their arms, they lower their heads, they purse their lips, and they say, well, this is just my way of praising the Lord.
You with me?
He says, wrong. He says, first of all, there is no such thing as my way of praising the Lord. There is only God's way. And His way has been
shown to us clearly in the Scripture.
And second, the Bible tells us that praise is to be declared or manifested. Hey, if you're not declaring it, if you're not manifesting it, guess what? You're not praising by definition. You're not praising. You may be meditating, you might be praying, you might be doing something else, and those things are good. But the Bible says, praise you, the Lord. Praise it, manifest it, declare it as you pray, or as you worship Him. Psalm 66, 8, he continues to say, there's my impression right there. Going back to Bob Thornton, he says, Psalm 66, 8, exhort, let the sound of His praise be heard. Praise is not praise until it is vocalized and so forth. In other words, it's impossible to praise with the mouth shut. The body slumps forward. In that posture, we might be worshiping or meditating or praying or sleeping, but we're not praising. So it's vitally important to live in an attitude of praise for God. But what do you do when you're having difficulty in praising the Lord? Now, I don't think anybody this morning is at this first place, but I provide it for you for the fact that you can share it with others. If you find somebody that's wearing the rags of despair instead of the garment of praise, the first place to begin is at submitting your life to God. We need to make sure that we have settled the issue of increasing the Lord of my life. And the way to do that, Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. If you say amen. If you confess Him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. Now, we believe that in faith, correct? Okay, but there are things that begin to take place in that person's heart that brought me joy in my life to see people that after they have made that confession of faith in Jesus Christ, that there is something that begins to take place in their life. See, they become a new person with spirit. The spirit of Christ begins to live in their heart, and that garment of praise begins to be a natural way for them to live their lives. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to confess and repent. Now, all of us, regardless of how long we've been saved, we get to a place where we need to understand that there may be confession and repentance that needs to be active in our life to get that garment of praise back in our life. Really? Can we admit to that this morning? And sometimes we begin to allow the flesh to speak in our lives. Sometimes we begin to be obstinate. We say that's just ornery. Right, we begin to do our own things. We begin to pursue our own passions. God, through His Holy Spirit, begins to speak to us again. There is a confession that needs to be a repentance that takes place in our lives for that to take place, so that can be done, that can be taken care of in our lives. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If you have confessed that sin, then don't allow the devil to keep bringing it up. That's the scripture right there that becomes the fruit of faith for you. That idea comes back to you again, and the enemy hears you say it against you and say, no, you know what? Here's what 1 John 1:9 says. I believe that rather than what you're speaking to me. Right? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The third thing that we do is that we praise God anyway. We praise Him anyway. This scripture's not there, but David says, oh, my soul, rejoice. Oh, my soul, rejoice. See, sometimes emotionally, we're not in that place where we are just, crazy about rejoicing. But he says, I'm going to command, I'm going to take authority in my life, and I'm going to say, we're going to praise the Lord. I'm going to just praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says this, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Now get the illustration, get the image here. In false gods of the Old Testament practice, the sacrifice of the animals on the altar, if there was the bloodletting, there was the cutting, there was the sacrificial action that was taking place, there was the burning of that flesh. So in other words, what we need to understand is that there is that sacrifice for our flesh needs to die so that the Spirit can live. Standing in allegiance to His name, verse 16, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that we've done. So regardless, despite what our feelings, despite what our circumstances are, God often asks us to take the first step when He's trying to help us to grow in our faith. And then we begin to walk in it. Many have begun to learn in their lives, but I will praise God whether the sun is shining or it's raining outside. I'm going to praise Him. Whether the car is broken down or whether the car is running great, I'm going to praise Him. He's worth it, praise. In order to sacrifice the praise, He is worth it. He's always worth it. The fourth thing is this. Is that you need to join together with other believers. So this is why we think that the community group, the coming to church, all these different activities, the women's group, the men's group, let me give you some more information on what the men are going to be doing this year. So all these different things are opportunities for you to get together and to create community together, fellowship together, so you can help one another out. To be an encouragement. James tells us that it's appropriate for us to go and confess our sins one to another. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Isn't that wonderful? Do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. And you have it this morning, preaching to the choir this morning, right? The next thing that I'd like to point out, and if you'll sort of indulge me on this point, I want to ask this question for us to consider, and that is this. Have your praise clothes changed in size? Have your praise clothes changed in size? Do you have that slide? Has it changed in size? Jesse and Jessica sent me a video the other day of Hudson. And Hudson had just gotten a pair of new shoes. And they went to, I don't know where it was, to Walmart, and they've gotten a pair of new shoes. And so, and now granted, he's up in New York State, so it's about 20 degrees outside. So he puts on these new shoes, and he got so excited about having these new shoes on that he's running in circles. Right? Running in circles over and over and over again inside the little living room that they have. And then they have this little area that they can run on. So he's running around this area in these little shoes. Look how fast I can run. So he's going to keep going through shoes, right? That shoe's going to be next size, next size, next size, next size. And I met a guy the other day, he took my hair, I said, size 18 feet. That's a lot of shoes. been changed, don't we? We're not wearing the same clothes that we were as boys and girls. We're not wearing the same clothes likely that we were wearing even 10 years ago. But there's a change that is taking place in our lives that we need to continue to kind of change into the new garments of praise that we have. The question that I think is worth asking ourselves is, are we wearing the same size of praise, the garments of praise, today as we were 5 years ago? Or has it changed? Is there something that has taken place in our lives that has really expanded you in an area of praise that you begin to say, you know what, my relationship to God has changed, therefore my praise has changed? Not that it has changed in the customs and the courtesies, because as Bob Thornton points out, this is what biblically takes place, but is there a greater revelation of God in your life that your praise has changed? I love looking at Moses, and in the story of Exodus, the details of the transition, taking the Israelites from Egypt and then moving them into the Promised Land, that takes place. But even for me, more, interestingly, not necessarily more interestingly, but I like the progression that I see of Moses. And there's a significant change that takes place between Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus 32 that I want to point out to you. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, this is where the Lord reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. It says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to keep his voice and look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Don't come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. I think this is sort of the greeting between God and Moses. Right? Here is who I am. Moses was interested enough to be drawn. I think it's also a great picture of salvation. But this is who I am. That revelation takes place when Moses begins to understand, hey, this is a holy place. This is holy ground. And he's instructed to take off his sandals and not come any closer. And so this relationship with Moses and God as it continues, eventually we get to Exodus chapter 33, verses 8 and 11. And I want you to understand, I want you to look at it, understand this is the transition that's taking place. It says in verse 8, whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and extend an entrance to their tents, and they would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. And as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And when the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and they would bow down and show their own tent. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Wow. From Exodus chapter 3 to Exodus 33, there's a significant change that takes in the relationship, and I would say in the praise and worship of Moses as he responds to this God that he's going to know. God has revealed himself to Moses in a new understanding, and I believe that as we as believers, as we follow after Christ, and he continues to reveal himself in new and unique ways to us, as we understand his word, as we learn to hear his voice, somebody we enjoyed the Whisper Study by Mark Harrison. As we begin to hear his voice, we begin to understand, hey, this is God speaking to me. What is he asking me to do? How is it changing the garment of praise that I'm putting up? Because my garment of praise when I was 12 years old doesn't look like, or it should not look like, my garment of praise when I'm 54 years old. Are you with me this morning? Is it growing? Because here's what the enemy will do, and we all know this because we're selfish. But so the enemy will come in and go, well, you know what? Just because it's really fine, you can just kind of do that. You're all right? This is just another worship service. Just another song. You don't have to get really involved. You don't really have to plug in. Just kind of hang on to other things, to be doing this set in my meddling this morning. Right? But again, I want to remind you that this is the King of Kings. we're singing to. This is the king who says that, I don't want you coming, right? Looking in your comments down. Come to me the way to start, but this isn't the way a mature believer ought to be doing. Right? We ought to be coming before the Lord with excitement, with praise in our hearts. We're ready to worship. We've even prepared ourselves for worship. Ready to go. Ready to praise the Lord. In a farmer's term, or in farmer's terms, as God blesses your crop, the barn grows. As God blesses us, as He enriches us in understanding who He is and our relationship with Him, also our garments of praise ought to be growing. They ought to be changing. They ought to be new. They ought to be fresh. That's the size, that's the frequency of your praise, that's the quality of your praise increase. I think it's a good question for us to be asking. Another point that I think that we ought to ask ourselves about the garment of praise is this. Dressing for success in your garments of praise. Are you dressing for success in your garments of praise? Now, I think it's true that our garments of praise can be made out of a variety of different things. So you can be unique in that, if you need to dress into the mentors to know things, it's just kind of a little bit different, a little nuanced to go to different places. It's all praise. But guess what? Your arms still go into the shirt. Okay? Your arms still go into your shirt. You don't take your pants, you put your arms into it, you go, right? This is who I am. You put your shirt on the pants. It doesn't work. Your garments of praise are what they are. They're still sort of a law. They're still sort of things that govern it to help us understand. They're things to help us be successful. One of those things is lifting up our hands. And lifting up our hands is a common expression of praise. I like the church we recently visited, they put it this way. It's a universal sign of surrender. What are we surrendering to? We're surrendering to the Lord. We're recognizing His sovereignty. We're recognizing His authority. We're recognizing His excellence as we lift up our hands. Psalm 134, verse 1 says, oh, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who serve at night in the house of the Lord. Lift up holy hands in prayer and praise the Lord. You see, that is a practice of praise. It's a tool of praise that we use to compute with those things. How about clapping? Right? Clapping. Psalm 47:1. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. How about singing? There's a different scripture, not coming out of Psalms, but it's coming out of an example of Jesus' life. In Matthew 26, verse 30, it says that then they, including Jesus, sang a hymn. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives, singing. Colossians chapter 3 talks about hymns, spiritual songs, and choruses that we sing to the church at that time. With singing, it was just that way. During the Old Testament as well, it was simply songs. Shouting is another example of tools that we use when we praise the Lord. Psalm 94 says, shout to the Lord all the earth. Break out into praise and sing for joy. Shouldn't we be responding to God with a shout of praise? Thank you, God, for revealing who you are to me. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And dancing. Psalm 149, verse 7. Praise His name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. How many of you know that dancing before the Lord is an appropriate response to praise that the Lord has done? But we want to be responsive to God. Now, a gentleman by the name of William Henderson, he makes an interesting point. He was a biblical scholar, and he did kind of a study of all the types of different, the bodily worship of God in the Old Testament. He found that there are 4 references to bowing the head, there are 6 references to standing in reverence, there are 9 references to lifting the eyes to God, who is the source of blessings, there are 12 references of kneeling and adoration, there are 14 descriptions of hands lifted towards God, and there are 28 references to people lying prostrate before the Lord. If the frequency of these references mentioned in Scripture relates to their importance, we would see that we often practice the opposite of what Scripture says is important. We most often bow our heads. I would imagine that we least often lay prostrate on our faces before God. The second most expressed of worship in the Old Testament is lifting our hands to God. Yet many of us have never done that. It's an interesting point that he makes, I think, because I think there are things that become acceptable to a certain congregation, there are things that are acceptable in certain places, certain personalities, and all that kind of thing. But I think that we're always better going back to the Scripture to understand what the Scripture says. So what are ways that are appropriate for us to worship the Lord? These are all ways that are appropriate for us to worship the Lord. And it's okay for us, in fact, the Scripture seems to endorse it by 28 different instances where we just simply lay before the Lord, prostrate before the Lord, and say, you have revealed yourself with your awesome power, your love to me. That we do that, we lift up our hands, we can't let you continue to do all those things. Most importantly, it is that we continue and that we grow to be responsive to God as we praise Him. Gladys and I are often amazed at what people will wear to an interview. She's been hiring frequently lately. And by the way, we're hiring now. If there's anybody that's aware of their teachers, love kids, love the Lord. And so we're often amazed, though, because you would think that people would come in, they're looking for a job, you think that they'd come in and professional, type of option. I mean, obviously, it's a piece of it, and I would come in with a kind of that formal, but kind of, professional, casual, at least. And yet, we have people that come in with exercise clothes on. We got people that come in, it doesn't look like they brushed their hair. We got people that come in and they can't have a conversation with you. And you begin to wonder, it's like, do you understand what dressing for success looks like? And when we get somebody that comes in and maybe they talk a good talk or they say, hey, I got all these kind of cool things that I've done in the past, and yet they're wearing sweatpants, what it tells me is they don't really want the job. They don't really want the job. Maybe you're just wanting to check it off. That's why I remember I did about when I got out of active duty, I was on unemployment, I guess it was like about a month and a half. And so they give you this little list, you can go out and look for work, and you've got to check off two different employers at that time. You have to try two places per week. And that shows that you're working hard. So I go and I check off the boxes, and it's like, sometimes it's like, I didn't really want to go to that place anyway, I'm just checking off the box. And so some of these people, I mean, if they're coming in with a sweatpants, and they're just kind of, they're doing it, I'm just thinking, you're just checking off the box, don't you? Right? You just want to do that because you haven't grasped for success. Now, let's translate that into spiritual terms. How many people are going to church on Sunday morning and they're just checking off the box? You see, they're not dressing for success. They haven't put on their garments for praise. They haven't considered the fact that the countenance needs to be right before they go in before the presence of the Lord and they stand before Him. They haven't done anything. They're not dressed for success. They don't understand that we have been given the garments of praise for the rags of despair that we need to be living in. So what do our garments of praise look like? Are we dressed for success, or are we just simply marking off a spiritual checkbox, a spiritual box, and saying, hey, done it, move it on? Stay locked. Pause and think about it. I'm going to conclude, and I ask you to stand with me. As we praise the Lord together in conclusion, It's unique because Sunday started off worship today by reading from Psalm 150. And I want to close our service today by reading from Psalm 148. I considered Psalm 150 as the first book of the Bible. And what I want to do is I want to read it together as we praise the Lord with this psalm. So I'll just begin and just vocalize with you these praises that we go through. First one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the skies. Praise Him, all the angels. Praise Him, all that has armies of heaven. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you twinkling stars. Praise Him, skies above. Praise Him, vapors high above the clouds. Let everything created be good. And let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for He issued His command, and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey Him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the world, young men and young women, old men and children, let them all praise the name of the Lord, for His name is very great. His glory towers over all the earth and heaven. He has made His people strong, honoring His faithful ones, the people of Israel who are closely in. Let's say it real loud. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the garments of praise that You have given to us. We no longer have to wear the spirit of heaviness, Lord, but You have given us praise. We rejoice in You, Lord.
Jesus. Lord, we pray, O God, that as we continue to learn of You, as we continue to know You in relationship, that, Lord, You will continue to grow us in praise because You're worthy of it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today. If you'd like prayer, I invite you to come on up to the front. Love to pray with you. Enjoy the sunshine, folks. Love y'all.